Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Awesome God, we trust you this morning that you will change our lives. That your word will come to us with great understanding. Everyone here, we have a testimony. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Celebrate Jesus this morning, brethren. I don't say you celebrate me, I say celebrate Jesus. He's the reason for this season. He's our Lord. And let me celebrate the choir. Choir have been doing well, right? Celebrate them, celebrate them. Hallelujah. Please take your seat. Glory to God. Praise God. I want to welcome everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. And I thank God for giving us another privilege to worship at his feet. We thank God for the gift of life. And brethren, I'm so glad this morning, and we are so privileged to have God's servant in the house this morning. Celebrate God. Many of you know I go to Kaduna like every year. And I spend 7 days. And that's the only place I can spend 7 days. My wife knows. Hallelujah. I have a father in the Lord. It's been a great blessing to me and to the body of Christ, especially in the movement church. There's no one in the movement church, a youth, that doesn't know him. I remember clearly my first opportunity to minister at the youth camp. I was so skinny, so small. And, there was somehow something happened. The teacher to take the class didn't come. And so they said I should go. When they told him, he was looking at my stature. He said, well, go, just go. And that was my first opportunity. Let me celebrate our Father in the Lord. Pastor Bankole, Daddy, we celebrate. It's a privilege having you here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a lovely person. By the grace of God, you'll be taking the message for second service. So get set to be blessed. Celebrate. And he has daughters and sons here too. Hallelujah. Celebrate God. Yeah. For like 3 weeks, I think 2 or 3 weeks, we're looking at a series. What is the gospel? But just, past week, the Lord began to speak to me on a subject. As I was studying, I came across a scripture, and the breath of the Spirit came upon that scripture, and I began to get an understanding. And basically, it's on the subject of love. And the Holy Spirit has helped me to get a title out of it, which I believe, God, that in this series you'll be blessed in the name of Jesus. And I title it The Proofs of Sincere Love. The proofs of sincere love. The evidence. What is proof? Proof is the quality of state of having been tested or tried. And many people whose love for God have not been tested yet. You have not seen situation or circumstances that will put your love to test. Peter says something. When Jesus told them the Son of Man will soon be crucified and at Gethsemane, do you know what Peter said? He said, if they will kill you, they will have to kill me first. But he didn't know that statement was going to be tested. And Jesus told him, he said, calm down. He said, Peter, you will deny me. He said, Peter was ready because he had a small knife in his pocket. His love was not sponsored by the Spirit. It was sponsored by a passion. He has followed Jesus and enjoyed many benefits. That was what was sponsoring his love. But listen to me, every believer, listen to me. In your journey with God, in your walk with God, your love will be tested. Abraham, now I know you love me. For anyone to be great in his or her walk with God, there will come a time that your profession of love, I love God, I love God, it will be put to test. And the Holy Spirit, I trust him, will help us see what are the things, what are the factors that will prove that you really love God. There's no doubt that God loves man. He has proven it. For God so loved the world that he gave. It was proven on the cross. He didn't need to die for himself. He didn't need salvation. Do you know Jesus did not need salvation? The Bible says he put off deity. He counted it not robbery to be equal with God, but came in the form of man to prove his love. I was listening to a preacher. He said, God so loved man that God in his state as God could not come to man. To come to man mean man will die. And for his love for man, he could not come. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in unapproachable light. If he will come in that form, man will die. Moses, you can't see me. If you see me, you will die. And so, for him to prove, now, man couldn't come. Man was bankrupt, man was insufficient, man was, man died. Man could not go up to God. But the love of God was what made God become man. God became man to prove his love. One of the greatest proof of love is that God, the Bible says, for there is no controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifested himself in flesh. Sin of men. It's one of the greatest. That God, now listen to me. That God humbled himself and went into the womb of a woman. But listen to me. We speak a lot about the love of God, but not much about our love for God. Do you know, if God didn't want you to love him, you would have been made a robot. You would not have willpower. Willpower is the reason you can choose to love God or reject God. So God created man. Before he created man, he created where man will live. Everything man will need. And God in his love gave man willpower to choose him or reject him. Why will God do all that for man and still give man the choice of choosing him? If it were you, you would have made man a robot. Praise God. And I want to show you a few scriptures. Listen, I'd like you to listen to me. This message will bless you a lot. Hallelujah. So I say proof is the quality or the state of having been tested or tried. Let me ask your neighbor, has your love for God been tested? Tell your neighbor it will be tested. Except you are not in a walk with God, it will be tested. Hallelujah. Now, what is proof? Proof is something that induces certainty and establishes validity. When your love is tested, it is validated that it is not just a mouth talk. There are plenty talkers in church. I don't have any other God. I love God with the whole of my heart. Now remember when the Bible say a particular scribe came to test Jesus and was asking him, which commandment is the greatest commandment? That if God will validate a man and say, this man is worthy of me, what is that commandment that makes man worthy of God? He said, love the Lord your God with the whole of your heart, your strength, your might. Nothing left out. He said, that is what validates that a man is worthy of God. Love the Lord. He said, and another like it is that you love your neighbor as yourself. Because the book of John says, how will you say you love God that you can't see? It's invisible. And you don't love a man that you see. Praise God. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 23. Very important, please. We have a lot to cover. Ephesians 6 and verse 23. Ephesians 6, 23. Anyone, if you find it, please let me read because of our time. Ephesians 6, 23. Okay, maybe I should take the reading from here. Now, listen to me. The Bible says, peace to the brethren. And love. Now, listen to me. Anywhere in the scripture you see love mentioned, either in the same verse or the preceding verse or the verse after, you will see faith mentioned. Paul speaking, when I heard of your love and faith, I heard of your faith and love. So now, if you can't have faith alone and not have the proof of love, faith and love. Now, look at what he says here. He says, come on, go on. Peace be. Yes. Love with faith.
From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ.
In sincerity. This was the verse I saw. I was just studying. And I saw Ephesians 6:24. Grace be to all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Now, grace is in levels. There is a grace for lovers of God. For not all men love God. There are men who are only using God, including ministers. Not all men love God. Romans chapter 8, he says, for all things work together for good, for they that love God. God loves all men. But not all men love God. People come to church for different reasons. I hope you know that. People come to church for different reasons. There are many who have been in church. They have attained to all levels of authority and position in church. It wasn't there. It wasn't for love. It wasn't love motivation. There are people who are in church because they are in need. Need is what is driving many people. And that's why you see somebody after being blessed, you start questioning his service in the kingdom. And he'll be telling you, I just, that was what he's been pursuing. It wasn't God. I just got married, it was marriage. Those days, I remember those days in fellowship, I used to kid. I say, I know many of you sisters, you are serving God because you want a good husband. It's a good thing. But the day you get a good husband, what happens to your relationship with God? I remember those days when we were preparing to graduate. Lord, everyone in the fellowship prayed. Many people, it was because of job. And as soon as they got job, you could see the proof of their heart. The truth of their heart was revealed as soon as they got what was driving them. Your love will be tested. Your love will be tested. If you want to become anything serious with God, your love will be tested. You can't escape it. And I'm going to show you in details how the love of Peter was said. Now, I want us to look at the word sincere. What does it mean to be sincere? Because we are looking at the proofs of sincere love. What does it mean? Sincere means absence of hypocrisy. I'd like you to write that down. To have sincere love means your love is absence of hypocrisy. We have all kind of hypocritical people in church. Who is an hypocrite? Somebody who pretend to be what he is not. I've never seen a place where people act like church. Church for some people is a theater. Pretenders. One of the reasons Jesus didn't want to have anything to do with the Pharisee was the fact that they proved to know, they professed to know God, but they were hypocrites. So sincerity means what you are doing is absence of hypocrisy, including your service to God. You see, people do all kind of things when there is somebody looking at them. Or when they are in need. When people need something, the way they behave in church is different. Even when they need from the pastor. He will ensure he sits where everyone will see him. I remember an occasion that happened many years in Kano. A woman just joined our church in Kano. It wasn't up to a week. She will come and sit at the front. Now, in those days, if you come, if you don't wear garments, they have a seat for you. This woman will insist it is front seat she wants to, so that she can be noticed. Just 3 weeks later, she came with big problem to the leadership of the church and that she needs a lot of money. Later, we found out that that is how she does. That's what she does everywhere she goes in different churches. Something was driving her. Coming to church early was for her to get money, not to meet with God. Praise God. And if you look at the book of John chapter 21, I'd like us to look at John chapter 21 quickly. We have a lot to cover. John 21, and let's make it fast. If you read from verse 1, very important. After these things,
Jesus shewed himself again.
Read verse 3.
Simon Peter,
now this was the man who said he will not allow anyone to touch Jesus and that he was ready to die. Look at what happened. Yes. He said, I will go back to fishing. After Jesus was taken away, after Jesus died, this man said, I am returning back to fishing. Go on.
They said unto him.
Now look at the influence of Peter. Sit down briefly. Peter was so influential that he could make tax collectors to start fishing. He said, and everyone followed him. What an influence. Now, you become dangerous in the kingdom when you are influential, but you are not, your love for God is not proven. You will lead men astray. This is the reason men don't rise to certain platforms. Until your love is tested, God will not expose you because of influence. Influence is powerful. Influence is powerful. And there are men who are very... I can't imagine Matthew, a tax collector. Say, okay, me too, I will follow him. So, they lost followership of Jesus to Peter. And that is the reason. Have you ever asked... In that same John 21 from verse 14, that it was only Peter. Jesus asked him 3 times, Peter, lovest me thou? He said, Master, you know I love you. He asked again. Now, go to John 21 and verse 14. Quickly.
This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the
disciples. Yes.
After that, yes. So when they are denied,
yes.
Jesus said to Simon Peter.
He said, now there were 11 of them there. But he knew the influence of this man. And that if I give this man a platform, if his love for me is not proven, every other disciple will go astray. Listen to me, fathers. Listen to me, mothers. You have an influence over your children. If you're a father here, you have an influence over your wife, your immediate family. And if you are not love-driven, you will lead them all astray. Can I talk to you? The level or to the your love, passion for God, or your love, proven love for God, is the only reason God give men influence and allow them gain access to the life of men. Because if you go without his love in your heart, you will destroy men. He asked him, look at it, go on.
Simon,
now look at it. Like, you know, if you want to make a matter serious for a person, you call him and call his name. The Yoruba people will say, Emelomokwe. That the matter is serious. They call, now Jesus asked him 3 times. To let him know, this factor will determine if you are going to lead the church. It is not talent that make God give men access. Talent is the smallest of it. There are many talented men who don't love God. They love crowd. They love audience. They love pulpit. They love preaching. They love to be on television. They don't love God. And so, God, who sees the heart of man, doesn't just put a man on a platform if his love has not been tested. Beloved, if you want to become anything serious with God, it's a love matter. It's not talent. It's not anointing. Can I talk to you? There are anointed men who don't love God. They are in the ministry, not for the love of God. Read on, sir.
Lovest thou me more than this?
Do you love me? Now, ask me, more than what? More than what was Jesus asking him? Do you love me? Peter, you have followed me since the day I gave you the greatest catch. Since the day he had the greatest catch of fish was the day he started following. Remember, it was this Peter that was asking Jesus, what is our gain? Now, Jesus kept quiet until this time to ask him, do you love me more than these things? Go on.
He said unto him,
Yes, Lord.
Thou knowest that I
can I talk to you? If Peter didn't answer this question, that ends his relationship with Jesus. Do you remember that the Bible says a rich man came to Jesus? The Bible says Jesus loved him so much. And he asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus told him, he said, what are the commandments to enter into the kingdom of heaven? He told him. He said, but I have done all that. And he was lying because you can't do it. It's law. And Jesus said to him, if you say you have done that, go and if you want to prove you love me, sell everything, give to the poor and follow me. And the Bible said, the man sorrowfully turned away. Even though Jesus loved him, could not call him back. The Bible says, the master loved him, but he has to make his choice. There will come a time you will have to choose between God and this world to choose. Every man who has walked with God made that choice. Go on.
He said unto him,
feed my lamp. Now, can I talk to you? Genuine love comes with responsibility. For God is not unjust to forget your labor. Love is actually a work. It's a labor. Love is not it's not something you profess with your mouth. Say, you know I love you. You work it. You labor it. Love is actually a work. Praise God. Feed my sheep. If you say you love me, you have a responsibility for me. God is asking you, if you say you love me, responsibility is one of the ways you will prove it. Praise God. So one of the things, now verse 17, is that verse 17? That's verse 17, right? He said to him the third time. Simon. Now, can you imagine somebody asking you the same question, you are giving the same answer? Jesus was not satisfied with the first statement. He wasn't starting. He now called his name again. Jesus. Peter. Simon, son of Jonah. Do you love me? He was grieved. What?
Because you
have asked me the same question. I answer you the first time, the second time, the third time. Jesus was trying to get something out of him. Go on. He said unto him,
Lord, thou knowest all things.
Thou
knowest that I love thee.
You know I love you.
Jesus said unto him,
yes.
Feed my sheep.
Shout hallelujah. He knows the state of your mind. Your pastor may not know. Your husband may not know. He knows if you love him. And as at the time he will ask him the third time, the mind of Peter was made. He said, you yourself, you know what is in my heart right now. And he says to him, he said, feed my sheep. I see many in our generation who wants to profess love without responsibility. I love God. with the whole of my heart. Come on, Yaza, you don't come. I see a generation who profess love, but don't want to be responsible. Don't want to be responsible. They don't want to be held responsible for anything. They just want platform. Just give them platform. When they see you as a ladder, they climb you. Not wanting to do anything. They just want to rise. Men don't rise like that. Men who rise are men whose love have been tested. This is a serious matter. Praise God. Every true love must be accompanied by faith. I said that earlier. Now, quickly, because of our time, factors that proves our sincere love for God. There are about 6 or 7 factors or 7 things I'm going to be showing you that if you have these things in your life, you can tell that you truly love God. You know, we are not talking about the love of God for us now. We're talking about our response to the love of God, because the Bible says He loves you first. It was His love that enables you to love Him. And listen to me, even though He loves you and you have the enablement, you can still choose not to love. Yeah. Let's look at earthly relationship. Relationship between a lady and a guy. Or relationship between a husband and a wife. For some people, it is the husband that loves the wife. But it's not reciprocated. And some, you see, even in relationship, people will be telling you, you are the one that loved this guy. He doesn't love you. No. He's like that. He doesn't like showing it. Tell me which love you won't show. God showed His own on the cross. A lady got married. I warned her about the person she got married to. She went for an introduction. When she did the introduction, you know, ladies, she posted all the picture and tagged the guy. The guy untagged himself. He's proving his love to her. You know, he doesn't like showing it. Listen, any love that is not shown is fake. Sincere love means genuine. Heartfelt. The word sincere. Another synonym for sincere means genuine. Heartfelt. True. So you say somebody loves but he doesn't show it. No. It's not love. For God so loved and He gave. He so loved He became a man. He so loved He died. Hey! Death. Death. So, now many of you, you have heard, I like you to go and read about Christian missionaries. Some of them who came from England and from America. And I'm going to use them as a case study this morning of the love of God. Now, many of them who came as Christian missionaries to Africa were not called by God. Ah, yeah. They didn't hear call. It was out of love. And let me tell you something, there are 2 sacrifices. Or 2 kind of consecration. Number 1, the sacrifice God demands from you. Number 2, the one you say you decided, and the 2, God accept both. If it comes sincerely from your heart and say, God, I love you so much and I'm going to do this. Most of them didn't get married. Malaria killed them in Africa. It was not that they heard a call or they saw an heavenly vision. Some of them didn't hear anything. Didn't see anything. They only saw a need for God that they love, and they went in for it. And God accepted their sacrifice. Today, somebody will hear call. What he'll be looking for inside of that call is car and house. And so the next thing he start pursuing is how to start having cars. There are men who didn't hear, they didn't see. How many of you have heard about Mother Teresa? God didn't speak to her. There was no record that she saw a vision. She was only walking on the street of India. And anyone who truly loves God will love men. There was one day I was saying something jokingly. I said, there are ministers who don't love people, but they love crowd. To see them, protocols. But they love to see plenty people and they start before. But that you, an individual, a woman came to me one time to pray and she was asking me, I said, do you have, where do you worship? She told me. I said, do you have a pastor? I said, why didn't you tell your pastor? Yeah, to see my pastor is not easy. How is it difficult that a sheep can't see a shepherd? Shepherd. She said, for me to see him, I have to go through protocols. They will have to give me a date. And you see, some of you are too familiar that you are seeing your shepherd all the time. There are people, they will have to give them date and tag. Because if he's coming into the church, people, they will guide him left and right. You can't even touch your shepherd. For those of you come, you see your shepherd, ba, when he shake. Pastor, I saw you in Wolo that time. I was waving you. And familiarity is what is killing the sheep. Many of us are too familiar. That you are too familiar that you have stopped receiving. Because you see your shepherd all the time. Jesus, he was so like them that it takes one of them to kiss him. To identify him. How can a man like that, you know, he was so popular, but anytime he's in the midst of the apostles, the soldiers could not, they had to pay someone to help them identify him. He was so a shepherd that it takes a sheep among them because he was always among them. He slept amidst them. They were everywhere with him. Praise God. Very soon, me too, I'll get protocols. So that you will reduce familiarity. But the truth is this, every shepherd should be accessible. You are not a shepherd if you are not accessible. People should be able to come to your house, sleep in your house, eat in your house, meet you anywhere, meet you in the church, anywhere. Anywhere. Praise God. So number one proof of your sincere love for God is sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. What is sacrifice? The willingness to die. The willingness to die to the flesh. Matthew 16:24. If any of you must follow me, he must deny himself. What is that denial? That denial is when nothing matters again. Nothing holds value more than your relationship with him. Denial of the flesh from the pleasure of sin. Now, do you know there are people who run away from sin? Not because of their love for God, but because of the fear of hell. If you are not sinning because you are afraid of hell, then you are not there yet. You don't understand Christianity. The reason we don't mess around is not because we are afraid of hell. The reason we don't mess around is because we have a love relationship. Those days when we first got married, my wife used to check my phone. She will open the SMSs, check every SMS, read it. So I used to ask her, is it that you don't trust me? She said, I'm only protecting you. I trust you. Protector. I said, keep protecting. So she kept doing this thing. She kept doing it. One day I now told her, I said, listen to me. I said, there are three reasons I will never mess up. Number one is not because of you. It's that I have a relationship with him. So either you are there or you are not there. Either you will know or you will not know. There's a higher relationship that will not make me mess, that will not allow me mess up. I said, and number two is you. Because I have a covenant and vow with you that I will not break. And number two, legacy for my children. What will I tell them when they grow up? Legacy. I see, these are three reasons in my life that will not allow me, even though I travel only me in the hotel, all kind of temptations here and there. Many of you think pastors don't get temptation. We get more than you. And some of you think, as soon as I get married, victory. That was my thought. Those days when I was single, I was like, God, let me just get married so that I can be free of all these things. Hey. At this point, your love will be tested. When you are alone. When nobody is there. You are far away. You alone in another country where nobody knows you as a brother, as a pastor. That is where some people lost it. Where in this country, nobody knows me. Some people are behaving because people are seeing them. It's not because of their love for God. It's the fear of scandal. It's scare of, I'm telling you, it's the reason people are not messing up. If they have proper cover, they will mess up and mess up well. If they are guaranteed that, look, you will do it, but you will have proper cover. They don't mind if it is only God that will see it. But as far as men will not hear, as far as men will not see, they are still okay. Praise God. Until your relationship goes more than that. He said, until your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisee. What is their righteousness? Hypocrisy. It's not a sincere righteousness. Number one, say sacrifice. The Bible speaking in the book of Romans 12, chapter 1, verse 1, say, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. He said, presenting your body, conform not to this word. He said, but present your body a living sacrifice. You don't, you listen, it's something you must, you don't need to be a man of God to do that.
Yeah.
To die to the flesh, except the seed of corn fall to the ground and die. It remaineth alone. Fruitfulness does not happen in life and ministry until you come to this point in life. Whatever you are doing for God, for your life, you won't see the level of fruitfulness you should see until death happens. And one of the proof of love is death. Death to self. Not doing what you want, but what he wants. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away. That was when Jesus died. It was not when they nailed him. It was that statement that killed him. If, when the Bible says, when he saw the agony of death, he said, if it were possible, if it is possible, let this cup, and that cup is a cup of suffering. It was the cup he told them. He said, you two, you will drink of the cup. When they were asking for seat, he said, before you sit, there's a drink. For sitting, there's a drink. The suffering of Christ and the glory. Glory don't follow until suffering precedes. Or you suffering goes ahead. And the Bible says, not my will. That was when he died. But your will be done. So in his mind, he was dead. So all the time they were showing him cross, he has made up his mind. Made up his mind. Choice. Even Jesus chose. He could have said, I won't do this. He made a choice. That statement was to tell us that he had option. Somebody say sacrifice. Number two proof of sincere love. That if you have this in your life, it means you have a love relationship. It's a prayer life born out of love, not needs. Write it down. A prayer life born out of love. Love relationship. Not. There are many of us who are prayer warriors because there are a lot of troubles in your life, so you must fight. If there is peace everywhere, you won't pray. And let me tell you something. The proof of every love relationship is communication. So why do we pray? Because we have a relationship. Not because of the need. So when every need is met in your life, will your prayer life end? So prayer first and foremost is supposed to be a communication and a proof of a relationship. Because you can't say I'm in a relationship with you. We don't talk for a month. We don't talk for a year. It was the first challenge I was having when we first started cutting. I started cutting my wife. And so I will call. kind of thing is this? Now, I've never experienced one before that one. I said, I thought we should be doing night call. The first day I say, let's do night call. She said, I have to sleep. I can't do. Now, you know, what informed my idea is that I know most people in love relationships don't know night call. It was when those things was introduced, then there's what night cool or something cool. So the day I told her that one, she said, no, I'm not part of that, all this. I said, no problem. If we don't do night cool, we should be doing day cool. I will call. She won't pick. Now, she was working in Lagos. I was in Kano. She said, no, you don't understand. I said, wow, I don't understand. And I don't want to understand. Any relationship that lasts communication, it will die. That's why it looks at times like you know God and at times as if you don't know Him. It's your prayer life. Say, I'm feeling like I know God. You have been praying. If you don't have a communication, prayer for us is not just a request, a mode of request. It's a communication link between a son and a father. Father to son, spirit to spirit. Hold it, because of our time. So prayer, somebody say prayer. That's why Luke chapter 18 verse 1 say men ought to pray without ceasing. Do you know why? It's not because of need. The reason you should pray, the Bible says pray all times, is because it's the link of communication. And listen, anyone who have a love relationship with God, one of the way you will know is that they are praying people. You know, at times you'll be, I remember those days you say with some brother in the house, you'll be like, what's your problem? What's the problem? It's a proof of your own love. When you are asking somebody who is praying, what is his problem? And you see somebody pray, Enoshi, Ikaya. You wake up, you first sudden. Something is wrong with you. Anyone who has a revelation with God, we pray. You don't beg them to pray. We have to communicate. You can pray anywhere. Praise God. Number three, and I will stop. Complete obedience to the word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Quickly. 1 John 2, 5. John 14, 15. Somebody open John 14, 15. Another person, 14, 21. 14, 31. John 15, 10. Whoso keepeth his word.
In him verily the love of God.
In him. Listen, you can't say you love him and you are ardent, disobedient child of God to the word of God. Go on.
In him verily the love of God.
In him is the love of God. Read it again. I love this scripture. Come on.
Whoso
keepeth his word.
In him verily.
In him verily is the word of God, love of God perfected. Hey, this is how we know that we are in him. Obedience. It is the proof of the perfection of love. You can't be messing up. You break the word of God and you teach it and go against it. And say, we are the lovers of God. Father, we love you. Listen, he knows those who love him. Even though you don't love him, it doesn't change his love condition for you. Do you know the love of God is constant? For those who love him and for those who don't love him. He loves us while we are still sinner. We didn't do anything. So he will not stop you because, he will not stop loving you because you don't love him. He will always love you. But listen to me, there's a benefit for loving him. There's a level you will have to walk with God with. There's a limit to how you will walk with God if you don't have love. I'm telling you. Praise God. John 14, 15, quickly. If you love me. This is the condition. Nothing more. If you love me, do what? Keep my simple. Look at verse 21. Yes. Yes. Is the one that loved me. Yes. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 31. Yes. 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 Shout hallelujah. This statement, do you know where he proved it? Lord, if it be possible. He proved this. He didn't just, you know, he said it here, but he proved it at the cross. John 15:10, and maybe next week we look at few other factors. John 15:10. If you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love. Shout hallelujah. Have you learned something today? Rise up to your feet. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your holy name. We pray we will grow in your love and in understanding. In Jesus' name.